Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
Confused on where to start with weight loss medication? See the lowest prices available with or without insurance for Wegovy, Zepbound, and more at TryLifeMD.com. 95% of LifeMD patients said starting their weight loss journey was simple. Listen to Tara's story after losing 42 pounds.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. I had gone from 237 to 195. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
Get your free insurance benefits check in minutes right now at TryLifeMD.com. Nearly 96% of patients said they would recommend the LifeMD program to anyone who wants to lose weight. Get started right now at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Ladies and gentlemen,
this is Gamertag Radio with your hosts, Danny Pena, Paris Lilly, and Peter Toledo.
All right, welcome to Gamer Tag Radio, episode 1362. This is your host, Danny Pena, and also co-host of the show. We have the whole crew here. Let's start with Pete. What's up, Pete?
What's up? How are you?
Good, man. Long time we'll see, man.
Yeah. The world tour continues, so I'm glad I'm able to jump off the PJ and hang out with you guys.
Nice. And also, joining us, Paris Lay. What's up, Paris?
Hey, good morning. How you doing?
Good. Just a little tired over here. But besides that, everything is great. I got to watch the new Alien movie. Fantastic movie. Must watch. And I'm just waiting for all these announcements coming up, I guess, for Gamescom in a couple of days, you know? I've seen a lot of rumors online. We'll see if it's true. But I think it's going to be a good one. Good show this year. Good show. Paris, I know you went years ago to Gamescom, and, you know, compared to like E3 or anything like that, I know it's very, very organized. You got the chance to go to where the public goes, or you were just stuck at the media content creator section?
No, I went to where the public went. And that was 2019. I went till the year before all the pandemic stuff shut it down for a couple of years. But I was very impressed with Gamescom. It is gigantic. Cologne, the city, is beautiful. I highly recommend anybody, if you ever get the opportunity, definitely make the trip there. It'd be well worth it. But extremely organized in the way that they do it, because I mean they're pumping in hundreds of thousands of people in the Gamescom. But the way they do it is there is what's called like the business area, where like they have it condensed for just media only and obviously business stuff that's happening, so you can get stuff done and you can go there and get all your do all your appointments, things like that. But there is the public area, and they open that up to the media the day before. So like I went to the Xbox booth and all that stuff before the regular public came in, and you get to see all that. And like I said, it is gigantic, just how big it was. And so I did all that. But then the next day, like I said, you go down to the business area and you do those appointments. But you can go to where the public is, and it's just very efficient how they get people in and out of those different areas. And I've never seen so many human beings in my life in one place. It is insane. I still have like pictures and stuff and some videos from when I was there. But I want to go back. I can't wait to go back again, because like I said, I think anybody that's into gaming, it is well worth experiencing at least once. Not to mention probably the best public transportation system I've ever seen.
that's the part I really want to check out. Yeah. If I were to go over there to Germany, that's cool, man. All right, so this episode, we're going to be talking about Indiana Jones and the Great Circle. We got invited to check out like a presentation about the game and everything. And I know it's coming out later this year, the game. So I'm very excited to hear Pete's thoughts, because I don't know if Pete been talking about Indiana Jones or not. You know, I know Paris and I, we've been checking it out here and there at different events, but we'll talk about it in a few minutes. And also some NVIDIA announcements and stuff too. So, because all this week is Gamescom, so there's going to be a lot of news, you know, games, all kinds of stuff coming up. But we're planning to be at an event that's Gamescom related, and we're going to record some stuff from there and release it on the future episode of Gamer Tag Radio. So stay tuned for that.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
Let's go to this. Thank you, dog. Thank you for the shout out. Let's talk now about Indiana Jones and the Great Circle. Paris, I know we got to check out the presentation a couple of days ago, man. Before, I think we were kind of like, I need to see more, you know. But I think after this presentation, I'm more confident. I think the game is going to be really, really good. You know, what are your thoughts so far of the stuff that you got to see too? Your opinion.
I thought the presentation was well. So as people are listening to this now, what we got to see is what they're going to show at Gamescom to people that are on the show floor as well. And then we got to see a little bit of extra stuff beyond that. But I thought it presented very well. I know a lot of people, you know, the main concern is that it's first person mode. But I thought the gameplay moments that they showed us in first person look good. The transition from first person into third person when you're doing like puzzle elements or a cutscene was pretty seamless. I like how they're doing the gameplay, and I may or may not have asked this question in our session to Machine Games, because it was the best question that was asked during the session. I just will shamelessly say that. But my question was to them, because you're seeing combat elements with the pistol, with the whip, you're doing that, the hand-to-hand melee combat, but then you're also seeing their stealth moments, things like that. Will we see a balance of those? Like, can I, because the question I was asking was like, can I just go in guns blazing into any scenario? Or is it a combination of guns blazing versus stealth elements, things like that? And the way that Machine Games actually answered it was they actually discourage you trying to run and gun, because technically you can, but it will make various scenarios extremely difficult using that. Part of the charm of Indiana Jones is not only him using his mind, but also using the whip and occasionally having used a pistol and, you know, having used his fist. So they wanted a good balance of that yes, there will be some scenarios where you're going to want to pull out the pistol and you can shoot the guy. But, you know, they encourage you to use stealth. They encourage you to try and find alternate ways to approach a scenario versus, yep, I'm just going to pick up a pistol or pick up a rifle and just go in. So I liked that balance of them showing that. And again, he's Indiana Jones. He's an archaeologist. So a lot of the gameplay is puzzle elements, is you exploring, being the archaeologist. Like you have your journal, like you'll have a camera, you'll take photos, and you'll have your journal of the different places that you've been and hints towards where you need to go. And you're encouraged when you're in areas to actually look around for things, pick up things, you know, be curious, you know, about what you're doing. In other words, it's not just linear. It's not just point A to point B. There actually is some side quest things that you'll be able to do, some kind of quasi open world things that you'll be able to do in the game as well. But you're Indiana Jones, you're the archaeologist, you're the explorer. And you're, as they keep saying, was your greatest weapon is your mind. So I'm definitely looking forward to that. I hope we see some very challenging puzzle scenarios where you got to think, you know, to be able to solve it. So I enjoyed what I saw. And again, I'm a huge fan of Machine Games. I know I'm biased as far as that goes. So, yeah, I'm definitely expecting it to be pretty good.
Yeah, I know people are going to be comparing this to like Wolfenstein. Cause, you know, they also worked on those games and other ones, too. But
don't forget Riddick Bay.
That too. Yeah. Forgot
Butcher, about it. Wow. Is it Butcher Bay? What's it called? Nah, I'm screwing it up. But
you're talking about the Riddick, right?
Yeah.
That one came out during the 360 era, right? What's it? Oh, no, the original Xbox.
No, I think it was original Xbox.
Original Xbox. Yeah, you're right. Original Xbox. Damn, I forgot about that. That they also worked on that game too. But
Escape from Butcher Bay. Chronicles of Riddick, Escape from Butcher Bay. Yeah.
Oh, there you go. Mm-hmm. So I know people are going to be comparing. Is it like Wolfenstein? I think it has that same type of style. Also like the animations and stuff like that, but it's going to be a little bit different when it comes to like those puzzles and stuff like that. So I know one of the questions that someone asked is the difficulty, if they change it, is the puzzles going to change? Is it, how much is going to change in the game? And I missed that part, Paris, that the answer, what the developers have to say about that part right there, when they talked about the difficulty once they change it.
The difficulty?
Yeah, I think one of the questions was, if the difficulty changes, so say you make it harder, is the puzzles going to be harder?
Oh, I think I kind of...
You missed it on one too?
I kind of glazed on that
one. Yeah, that was toward the end. That was towards the last part.
I remember it being said, but I thought the difficulty is the difficulty. You know, especially puzzles. How do you make a puzzle more difficult?
Yeah.
It is what it is.
No, but it looks good. Pete, you have any questions about Indiana Jones? Or your thoughts of the stuff that you got to see?
It's just a clarification. Machine Games was founded by former employees from Starbreeze. Starbreeze Studios is the one that made Butcher Bay. Outside of the gameplay, I do follow what you're saying about the link to Wolfenstein in the gameplay. I love the fact that it is set within canon of the actual story. I believe it's between Raiders of the Lost Ark and what's the other one?
No, it's not. It's after Last Crusade.
I thought it was...
Or before, I'm sorry, excuse me. No, you are correct. You were about to say it correctly then. It is between Raiders of the Lost Ark and Last Crusade.
Right.
I apologize.
Correct, yeah. That's what I meant. That's what I was trying to say. See, that's what happens when you don't interrupt.
He was ready to attack.
No, I that's the biggest thing for me, right? I think... Especially the three of us, right? Growing up with Indy on screen, whether you had Short Round or any of the other amazing characters, that was one of those tentpole moments for us as kids, watching Indiana Jones go through all of his adventures on the big screen, and for us to now be able to play as him in the actual story universe. And continuing on that journey, I think it's just, I think it's amazing. And it looks beautiful. It looks so realistic. I mean, that's one of the benefits of playing games today, right? If we tried to play this game 30 years ago, it wouldn't look anything like this, right? And again, as Perez mentioned, because of that link with Starbreeze and Machine Gun, Machine Games, it just, they know how to write a story-driven video game. Right, and I think for me that's one of the most exciting parts of being a gamer, being somebody in this opportunity, be able to live out that fantasy again. I don't know how well I'm going to do, because I'm going to be fully honest on this. Mm-hmm. I'm the guy that goes in and tries stealth. The moment it fails first time, it's guns blazing.
I'm like that too.
I don't know how well I'm going to do in this game, but I'm super excited and hyped to try. Do we get to see some of those other characters from those? Have they talked about that? Will we see any of those other characters from the Indiana Jones story universe?
I can't answer that question because some parts I wasn't there. So I don't know, Paris, were you there? Did they say anything about that, Paris, that part?
Repeat the question again, please.
Will we be able to see characters like Short Round or whatnot in the game?
I'm so glad you asked that question, my friend, because once again, you know, look, I just ask these great questions when I'm, you know, in there.
Best question.
I may or may not have asked that very same question that you're asking, and they will look. They obviously don't want to give up things, so yes, you will see some very familiar faces throughout the Indiana Jones saga that show up in this game.
That's really cool.
And I'm not expecting to see like a Molaram, because by the time this game is on, Molaram is past, right? But will we see like a Professor Henry Jones Sr.? Will we see like Colonel Vogel? Will we see characters like that were in between, you know, in between those two movies? That's mm-hmm. that's if I have a question, that's my biggest ones. Will we see them?
Yeah. And also, you know, watching the trailer, shout out to Troy Baker. I think he did a pretty good job as Indiana Jones. It feels like the whole presentation that I've got to see from the game. It feels like the original, like the movies and stuff. So I don't know. Yeah.
So I'm going to be Conspiracy Steve for a second, because as we're recording this, we don't know the release date. They may say this at Gamescom, and everyone listening to this knows the release date, but I'm going to be Conspiracy Steve. And I'm going to say that this game is coming out in November before the cutoff for the Game Awards voting because of Troy Baker. Troy Baker will get nominated for Best Performance if it is eligible this year. So I think this is part of the conspiracy that Avowed got pushed into February because they're moving Indiana Jones up and they want to make sure it's eligible for Game Awards.
That's a pretty good theory. Well, conspiracy theory. Great job.
Yeah.
Never thought about that part. Cool. Awesome. Did they talk to anything else, Paris, about the game besides only that one level that they showed? Or
you know what?
Oh, no.
You got invited to the same thing that I did. Why are you asking me all these questions?
Because you know what it is? You know what it is? You know what it is? I have a child, Paris. I have a child.
not an excuse. I got three of them.
But they're grown ass adults.
And I have two.
Really dry. I'm broke. I'm so broke. I literally just spent $5,000 this week on these kids. Killing
me. You know what? Not my problem.
Hey, not my problem that you have a kid. You miss Ant's presentation. No, ask the question again. I'm sorry.
No, I'm just saying, like, was there anything else that they showed? Like, I know they had a Q&A. And they showed a couple of things you do in the game.
Well, I mean, the one thing, again, there was like a little bit of extra stuff that dealt with the Sphinx that will not be shown at Gamescom that we got to see. And again, it was more of an environmental puzzle thing where you had to kind of figure out, like, there was this door like you had to get through. And it turns out it needed a medallion to get through it. So you had to then go find the medallion. You'll wear disguises in here. Like, there was one scenario where Indy is dressed up like a priest. This one, you're in Egypt, you dress up like a worker, and you have to go find this medallion, and you go in this tent where these Nazis are all sitting around, and one of them demands you go get him a drink, and you find the medallion. And because you're taking too long, he gets up upset. Like, I told you to give me a drink. So you got to get them and you get out. So then you get the medallion. You're able to get inside this door. But then there's some puzzle elements once you're inside that you have to figure out as well. So I thought that was cool. They also showed like another, and I think this one people are seeing Gamescom, where like the Sun Temple, where the quicksand's coming up and you have to get out. So stuff like that. I thought that was cool. Again, this is like, that's some Indiana Jones type stuff. The best compliment I can give of what we saw was this felt like something that belonged in the Indiana Jones universe. It didn't feel out of place. It, you know, if that makes sense. I mean, again, go back to the Xbox showcase, that thing that they showed on the ship where the dude was choo choo. That is totally Indiana Jones. And this felt like Indiana Jones too. The preview that we got to see again, I'm looking forward to it. Like, yeah. I said, the developer has a great pedigree. They know how to make first person campaign stories that work. I think this one can work. It seems like, they did mention they did a lot of research to make sure that they are accurately replicating the 1930s, like some of the open world, semi-open world, but some of the open world stuff that you'll be able to do, like you're in this marketplace. They wanted to make sure that it is a true representation of what the 1930s was like. So, not to mention, you will get adventure points in the game and you can use that to upgrade stuff. Like, one of them was they showed off Indy losing a fight and going down, and you can get, and I'm forgetting the name of it exactly, but you can get this upgrade that Indy puts his hat back on, and it's almost like you get like an extra life. So you actually get like a second chance to redeem yourself in the fight. And then he beats the guy up and moves along. But so there will be, and again, the adventure points, because they're encouraging you to do things off the beaten path. And again, this is where the photos come in, where you can take photos of certain things. And not only would those be clues that go into your journal, but you'll get basically experience points with adventure points because you did that. And then you get so many points, you can apply those to certain upgrades to your character or to Andy. So I thought that was cool.
That's cool. I think that's going to help replay value maybe, because people probably want to like unlock some things that they probably missed during the first time probably.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, that's cool. Really, really cool, man. So anything else? I think that's about it from Indiana Jones.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, we're doing this before Gamescom, so we don't know if they have a release date. I would assume we get a release date before this. Again, my bet is it will be November, but obviously we'll see.
So this is Xbox Series X, S, and Steam?
Yes. Do we want to address the rumor that's going on?
I think we should. It was not part of the presentation, by the way.
It is not part of the presentation. This is a rumor. Rumor. Not one that I started. I'm just going by what I saw on the internets. Okay? But according to the internets, allegedly, Indiana Jones might also be coming to the PlayStation as well. Is that day and date? Is that after a limited window of exclusivity on Xbox? We don't know. Is it even true? Who the frick knows? Because obviously there's the rumor. First it was Forza Horizon 5 is going. Then it was Starfield. And now people are just saying it's Flight Sim. And like, who the hell knows? All I know is this. If it does come to the PlayStation 5, so what? Play the game. Play it wherever you want. That's my opinion on this. I really don't care. I know where I will be playing it. I will most likely be playing this on Xbox and on PC, because there's a second part to this as well, because we're shifting the embargo to make sure we're with the NVIDIA stuff, and we'll get more into the NVIDIA stuff in a second. But there's also in an NVIDIA presentation as well for Gamescom, and one of the things that they showed off was PC support for Indiana Jones. It will have DLSS 3.5 and full ray tracing, aka path tracing. And if you know what that is, think about the stuff that we've talked about in the past with Portal and Cyberpunk 2077. So Indiana Jones is getting the full treatment on the PC side with DLSS 3.5 and full ray tracing. So excited for that as well.
Oh, nice, nice. But one thing, I'm going to go back to the rumor date stuff. Here's the thing. Xbox have never said that this is an exclusive game. They just say it's coming out from, under the Xbox Studios. But that's about it. You know, so I could see this game being, you know, multi-platform in the future. So, not surprised. And when I mentioned that to Paris was making fun of me. Because I said, you didn't know anything. What are you talking about? Dissing me? What's wrong with you? But yeah, we'll see. B, what you think, man? What you think of this rumor going around about all those games and now Indiana Jones that might potentially
Let's go back several months, right? When they did the announcement, they said that there was going to be another game coming to PlayStation. Our buddy Jez thinks it's going to be Forza Horizon. But we're not sure about that. But if you
no,
really
he said
look
no.
At it,
he corrected me because I saw.
Did he?
Yeah, I saw the news article. I posted like, "Oh, this is pretty cool," because Forza Horizon 5 is one of my favorite racing games ever.
Right.
And him and a couple other people are like, "Nah, it's not that game. It's something else." Mm. So,
and so, you know, then, what other major tentpole game that is Microsoft releasing this year outside of?
Yeah, because Avowed got delayed, so that's not coming out. Yeah, Indiana Jones, right?
So I mean, it's not a difficult thing to try and figure out. I mean, sure, does Microsoft want people talking about this and it's coming out on, you know, as a rumor? Probably not. We've all had that conversation on this show before. And again, I don't think it's a bad idea. I mean, it puts the game in more people's hands and gives them more opportunity to play a Microsoft game. Why not take advantage of it? Yes, exclusivity is a big thing and does cause some kind of a conflict, especially on the social media hamster wheel. But I don't see it as a bad thing. Play both sides. Why not?
Yeah.
And get more people to play Microsoft games and be like, damn, okay. Well, if this is good, let me try something else. Maybe I've only played PlayStation games all my life for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know.
Gives you an opportunity to get more people into your ecosystem.
It's not the end of the world.
It's not the end of the world. And this is our show, so we can say whatever the hell we want. I saw your thread when you were speculating about Forza and just seeing people being so upset It's like, bro, okay, we've been, wait, I'm not going to curse, almost curse. We've been talking about this since January of this year, ever since these rumors have started, right? And at this point, we know they are bringing more games to PlayStation. It is just a fact. It is happening. So if you, we're at a point now, you either accept it or you don't. And I'm not saying that like some elitist or anything like that, but it is not going to stop me from playing games on Xbox. They are going to continue to make hardware. We know this. They have told us this. We're probably getting some kind of handheld, which, by the way, the responses I got about they should make a handheld ridiculous again. Again, the internet is not a real place, but they're going to continue to make hardware. You are the consumer. You get to decide where you want to play these games. That is, again, the brand of Xbox. They have invested $100 billion in their gaming division. It is not going away anytime soon. Bethesda is still going to make games. Xbox Game Studios is still going to make games. Activision is still, there's going to be a Call of Duty every goddamn year. You're not losing anything as a gamer. Where you get to play them is what is changing. If you want to play them on PlayStation, as some of these games go there, go play them there. Microsoft is literally telling you, hey, that is okay. If you want to go spend $70 to play it on the PS5, go play it on the PS5. You want to subscribe to Game Pass and get them there, do that too. Mm-hmm. It's what they've told us. And why people get so upset, why people write novels on social media explaining the, because again, you ain't Amy Hood. So you're not the CFO of Microsoft. You don't know what their financials are. You don't know how this works. We've obviously seen just the disruption this industry has had. Like, God forbid, I said at the beginning of the year, hey, the business of gaming is changing. People was about to freaking, you know, throw me in the gulag for saying that. I'm like, it is. Look at all these layoffs that are happening. Look at how live service, PlayStation at one point was going all in on live service, realized that wasn't working, and they backtracked on it. Bungie almost went away if they weren't purchased by PlayStation. You know what I mean? Obviously, Microsoft has pivoted and started to think differently about, hey, is pure exclusivity the right thing for our business? Clearly, it's not. So, like I said, we can sit here and keep complaining about something that is happening, but it's your choice on what. Let's just say this. Jeff Keighley walks out on that opening night live stage. They show the Gamescom thing. Everybody's all smiling and excited. And then he goes, and Indiana Jones is coming out on November 6th, 2024 on the Xbox, PC, and PlayStation with a smile and the little ding and the whole thing, right? The world's not going to end if that happens. Why people would lose their minds. Look, people are going to lose their minds because of the stupid console wars. I get all that. But normal, just regular consumers, number one, probably aren't even paying attention to this live. And then when it does happen, they're just going to go, oh, Indiana Jones is on PlayStation. Cool. I'm going to go buy it. Or Indiana Jones on Xbox. Cool. I'm going to go buy it. Mm-hmm. That's it. That's literally it. People need to stop making their entire identities about brands. We live in a different world now. My kids could give a shit about if it's on Xbox or PlayStation. Really don't care. They don't care.
They're not stuck on Twitter complaining.
You know where they, 'cause you know where they would want to play all these games? Mm-hmm. On their iPhone. That's where they would play them because that's the device they use the most. So it's, I don't know. We're just getting to a point where this is, I understand change is difficult. I understand the initial outrage, but bro, it's freaking August and we're still complaining about this stuff. At some point you got to move on from it. It is what it is. Whether you like it or not is my point. I'm not saying you got to like it, but it is what it is. If you feel Xbox has betrayed you and you need to leave the realm, then I guess you got to go. I don't know what to say. I don't know what else to say.
You know what, too, Paris? If people are going to complain to all those people that purchased Sea of Thieves on PlayStation 5 and they're having a great time. Why you don't talk to them? Because they bought it and the game became number one on their digital store, you know? So it's a win for everybody, man. It's good.
I will say again, for the record, I think if Halo and Gears and Forza and all that's on PlayStation, it's freaking weird. Yes. But I'm not going to at the same time think the world is ending because that happens. I just think it's weird. But things change.
Yeah.
Hell, a month ago, Joe Biden was running for president. Now he's not. What are you
going to
do?
It's not the end of the world.
Yeah.
You know what? It's like the first time, and we're going to go to the NVIDIA stuff, but it's like the first time hearing about Sega going, you know, third party and all that stuff. You know, they had to, because they had no choice, you know, but look, it's part of the business. Companies are going to do whatever they want that's going to help to continue to create more games. If this is something that's going to help, you know, get for Microsoft get more money and for us to get more games in the future, and developers get more jobs opportunities because of this, hey, I'm all for it. That's how I see it. I don't see this as you know, it's killing the brand and all this stuff. Why I'm buying a console if it's not exclusive? Who cares, man? I just want to play games.
No, it is. Since I'm ranting, I'm going to rant on this too. This is why I'm saying the internet's not a real place. Mm-hmm. So I had said a few days ago, I go, look, because the news came out that Valve is going to basically open up Steam OS to other devices, right? They're going to put it on the Rogue Ally.
Oh, yeah.
So that, we know a Switch 2 is coming. And we know the Switch has been the most successful hardware of this quote-unquote generation, last generation, whatever you want to call it. But record numbers for Nintendo, that hardware, because it's a hybrid device. You're playing AAA games on the go, or you could dock and play it on the TV like you normally do. That's the gimmick, and it clearly works. People want that. We've seen the success of the Steam Deck. We're seeing the Rogue Ally. Like, you're seeing handhelds, and more specifically hybrid handhelds, have their moment, because this clearly is where we're headed. And there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying you're going to get rid of consoles that just sit under your TV, because that's not happening. We're going to get a PlayStation 6 and we're going to get another Xbox, but you're also at the same time going to see a Switch 2, and you're going to continue to see these other handhelds come out. We know Xbox is working on something. When it happens, we don't know. We know PlayStation has talked about reviving the Vita, so that eventually will happen as well. Hell, the Portal for PlayStation was essentially a proof of concept to see what the interest was in it, right? And the interest has been pretty freaking high. So my point was, Xbox and PlayStation better not sit on the sidelines too long, or Nintendo and another third party like a Valve or an Asus or someone else is going to corner the market on these hybrid devices. Because you cannot tell me, if you have an Xbox dedicated handheld that I can play all my Xbox games on the go and dock it to my TV, there won't be interest for it. And the same goes for if the quote unquote Vita 2 comes out, and it's the same thing. All my PlayStation games, I can play them wherever I want, and I can dock it to the TV. There's a market for that. 1,000% there's a market for that. Can't tell me no different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You would have thought I said Jesus isn't real. That's what you would have thought I said on that. Someone wrote a novel to explain to me why I'm wrong. Why? Why? Why does it matter? It's an opinion. I didn't say this is the only thing that's happening. I just said this is where it's headed. But again, the internet has, you have these people with these weird brand loyalty things because you know why it was an issue, right?
What was it?
Because I'm the quote unquote Xbox guy. How dare I include PlayStation in this? The whole argument was PlayStation doesn't need to do this. PlayStation. You're only saying this because it's Xbox. And I'm like, oh my God, no, I'm not. But okay. If that's how you feel. It's not a real place. So my whole point of saying all this complaining that I'm doing right now is play what you want. Don't let anybody tell you where or how you should play anything. If it matters that much to you, God bless you. Do whatever it is you got to do. Most people, none of this stuff is going to matter. They're going to either, hey, this is great, I'm going to go get the handheld PlayStation or Xbox, or I'm going to go play Indiana Jones on the ColecoVision. It's not going to matter. That's all I'm saying. It's your money. You get to decide where and what you want to play. That's all I'm saying. And I'm done ranting.
It's all good. And here's one last thing.
I just think it's hilarious that 4 or 5 months ago, people were lambasting Microsoft, saying that Windows 11 was hurting or holding back the handheld market. And now all of a sudden it's, I don't want to say it's open source, but it's, I mean, the ROG Ally, the Legion from Lenovo, and obviously the Steam Deck, you can install it on there and it works just fine. And I think just recently it's now certified on Steam Deck. If you wanted to go ahead and do it, I don't see the big issue. Look, it does nothing but give you an opportunity to have a consumer go play wherever they want, on the go, in a car, on a train, in a plane. I think it's an amazing opportunity to extend it. Hell, we know Phil Spencer walks around with an ROG Ally. Why not?
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? So
it's funny, not to interrupt you. I've seen a lot of Xbox people, you know, getting ready to travel over to Germany, mm-hmm. tweeting, you know, what are they all to? Oh, I'm taking my ROG Ally so I can play all my games while I'm on yep. the plane. Hell, I just did it when I went to freaking London. You know what I'm saying? It's whatever, but go ahead. Sorry.
No, it's just, it's fun. And yes, there are tools. I think Danny, you were showing this last year, the little suitcase with the monitor that you can go. It's great. I think it's cool, especially because you get to play on a bigger screen. You actually get to play with the controller, et cetera. You're playing on your actual Xbox. But it's still a massive power source that you need. It generates heat. You're in an airplane. You're not just going to pop that up on your plane. You can, but it's so much more convenient as a traveler, as a gamer, to just whip it out of your bag, pull it out of your little rucksack or whatever you're carrying into the airplane or wherever you go, and just plop onto the seat and just start playing immediately. I think it's such a great opportunity for gamers in general. I don't care about the platform. I don't care if it's a Lenovo. I don't care if it's an ROG Ally. I don't care if it's the big, massive MSI one that we talked about a couple of months ago that we laughed about. It's an opportunity for you to play games on the go. Why create divisiveness and just another platform war?
I just see it as another way to play. That's it. You
know? Exactly. That's all it really is. And I think it's great that now it's a certified operating system on the Steam Deck. And as I look at mine on my desk, I'm actually considering blowing it out and installing it just to see the experience. Because I can always go back to the Steam OS. It's okay. You can flip back and forth. It's not a dedicated unit.
Amen. All I would say is this. Play games, man. Games is about having fun. Who cares about brands? But now, before we wrap it up, one last thing, and I know Paris, we haven't talked about this very quick, but speaking of multi-platform, it's cool that I think it was like a year ago, so it was announced that you could play Xbox games through the cloud, of course, but on NVIDIA GeForce Now. When I heard about that news, I got super excited because I sometimes play GeForce Now on my TV, on my Samsung device, phone, and also TV. So I you know, play some stuff there. And it's cool seeing that there's going to be games from Xbox available also there. And that's the thing. The beauty about this is you can play any of those games in multiple platforms, including NVIDIA GeForce Now. And one of the things that Dan mentioned, I know Paris brought this up because we were talking about this, about the presentation, is that before, when you want, if you play a an Xbox game through GeForce Now, you always have to log in your account, and that thing was very annoying happening. But now it looks like Paris, they fixed that situation, right? That you only have to like click it once and you can play those games.
Yeah, they're adding in the automatic sign in to GeForce Now for PC Game Pass games. So, and you can already do this with Steam and like the Ubisoft Connect already. But so now you'll just have to sign in once on whatever device you're using GeForce Now. And but if you go to another one, just bring up your PC Game Pass games, you automatically be able to sign in and play them. Because right now it is a pain in the butt. It was so funny. Yep. And I was in the Q&A about that. I was asking about that. And they were like, that was the number one complaint, just how much of a pain in the butt, because the Microsoft sign in is just, it's chaos trying to sign into that. So you'll just have to do it once. You could even do it from a PC browser, sign in, you're locked in, good to go. If you like, cause I can play on, you know, like on my Samsung TV, stuff like that. I can just go to that device. I'm good to go.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yep. No, that's really good, man. Really good to see. And I'm glad that they've been collaborating and adding new stuff there, because they NVIDIA always adding new games in there too, man. So it's awesome to see that, man. So anything else from the NVIDIA stuff, Paris?
Yeah. So a few more things that came out of that. Like on the GeForce Now side, they have over, I think it was over 2,000 games now are available on GeForce Now, which is pretty awesome. On the regular RTX side, I believe they said they're now at over 600 games. And we're talking like DLSS 3 and above, 3 and 3.5. They were showing off some Star Wars Outlaw stuff. They're going to have a bundle that's going to be available when that's out. The one other thing, like the, why am I blanking on the Wukong game? Black, what is it called? Black?
Oh, it's on PlayStation. Oh my God.
Black, is it Black Myth Wukong?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah,
yes.
Thank you. I'm being bad on names this morning. They're showing that off again. DLSS 3.5, the whole deal with that. I already talked about Indiana Jones having that. They also showed off, and this is going to be hands-on playable for the first time at Gamescom to select media, is the Half-Life 2 RTX that's coming out. That'll have DLSS 3.5, full ray tracing on that. So there will be hands-on and capture opportunities for that at Gamescom.
Nice.
And, no, your boy might get access to that later too. So I can't wait for that. So obviously, if we get early access to that, I'm definitely looking forward to talking about that and experiencing it. Because I mean, after what we saw they did with Portal, I can't wait to see Half-Life. And they showed off some screenshots of the difference with that, with RTX and full ray tracing enabled. I mean, just looks beautiful. And I mean, Half-Life 2 is just one of those games. It's timeless. Be able to go back and play. So looking forward to that. As well, but that was the, you know, for the most part, all the NVIDIA stuff. They showed off some stuff with G-Sync that they're doing. They showed off some stuff with the NVIDIA AI that they're doing as well. But from a gaming standpoint, those were probably the biggest ones that they showed. So looking forward to it. Looking forward to seeing some of this stuff with the PC Game Pass, with the automatic sign in, and like I said, I can't wait to get my hands on the Half-Life 2 RTX.
Good. Yeah, well, thanks to NVIDIA and also Bethesda for inviting us to all these events. And look, there's going to be a lot of Gamescom events happening all week. So, like I said, we're attending a couple of events here in LA, and we're planning to talk about it in the future here on Gamertag Radio. Now, one last thing. Shout out to Activision. They sent me, and I know Paris, who sent us codes for the open beta for Call of Duty Black Ops 6. This is for the multiplayer, which is it's going to be available early access August 30th. And I know a week after that, it's going to be open for everyone to check out. So I do have a code. And if you're listening, go to the description of this episode, and I'm going to have a code there for you to redeem it. And you could also play Call of Duty Black Ops 6 multiplayer once it comes out. So all the details there, just look at the description of this episode, and that's about it. Anything else, guys, before we wrap it up?
Nope.
All right.
I think we're all good. Right.
Okay. Well, thank you, Paris and Pete for joining, and hopefully we could do this again in the future. More episodes. Yeah. More ranting. All that stuff.
More soapbox.
More soapbox. All right. Everyone, until next time, we are out. Take care.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.